For people living along the ocean coast, melting glaciers and ice caps mean rising sea levels. For people living on inland lakes, however, melting ice may mean just the opposite. Hi, I'm Neil Hout from Apostle Island's National Lakeshore, and I'll be your host for this episode of Earth to Sky's Climate Cast. Apostle Island's National Lakeshore is the northernmost point in the state of Wisconsin. It includes 21 of the 22 Apostle Islands and a 12-mile stretch of mainland shoreline along Lake Superior's south shore. Lake Superior defines the Apostle Islands, shapes its ecosystems, and sustains life in the region. Any changes to the lake may have significant long-term impacts on Apostle Island's ecosystems. Research conducted by Dr. Jay Austin from the University of Minnesota Duluth showed rapid change in the summer water and air temperatures of Lake Superior between 1979 and 2006. Summer air temperatures around Lake Superior increased about 1.5 degrees Celsius during that period. Surface water temperatures increased about twice as fast as the air temperatures, or about 3 degrees Celsius during the same period. Trends also indicate a decrease in ice cover on Lake Superior. Winter in the Apostle Islands means ice. The onset and disappearance of the ice greatly impacts the lives of people in area communities. Access to the islands, access to fishing grounds, the opening and closing of the navigation season are all dictated by ice cover on the lake. I spoke with Forrest Houck about a recent study he conducted on Lake Superior ice cover.
My senior year of high school, I compiled a 150-year data set to research the changes in Lake Superior ice cover here in the harbor in Bayfield, Wisconsin. To do that, I looked at the length of time the channel between Bayfield and Madeline Island was blocked by ice each year dating back to the founding of Bayfield in 1856. Madeline Island is the largest of the Apostle Islands and the only one that maintains a year-round community. I was able to get some of those records from the Madeline Island ferry line. I got most of my 150-year data set by searching through microfilm copies of the Bayfield County Press newspaper. The data showed that through the course of my study, the ice season has been shrinking by an average of 3/10 of a day per year, 3 days per decade, or 30 days per century. The ice is generally forming later and melting earlier each year. This means, while 150 years ago, the average ice season lasted for about 125 days, and now the ice is only covering the lake for about 80 days per year.
Trends indicate that maximum ice cover on Lake Superior has decreased about 20 to 30% since the 1970s. Ice plays an important role in the lake's thermal cycle. The ice reflects sunlight, which is the primary source of energy for heating up the lake in the spring. Take away the ice, and the lake warms up faster, allowing more water to evaporate. From 1997 to 2007, the Lake Superior region experienced increasing air temperatures and evaporation, along with decreasing precipitation. This led to decreasing lake levels, with Lake Superior setting a new record low level in August and September of 2007. Levels have rebounded since then, but are still below the long-term average. It appears that winter evaporation, related to the amount and duration of ice cover, affects lake levels more than precipitation. Low lake levels adversely affect recreational boaters, marinas, commercial navigation, and hydropower. The United States Great Lakes Shipping Association reports that for every inch of lost clearance due to low water, an international vessel loses from 90 to 115 metric tons of cargo carrying capacity. We asked small boat operator Dave Wilkins at Apostle Islands National Lakeshore about some of the effects of low lake levels on the park's boating operation.
Well, with the low water levels, all of our docks, most of our docks, we probably lost a quarter to half of the usable dock space because of the shallow waters. In other areas like the south end of Devils, there was a big rock that was exposed that made it almost impossible to get into the little harbor out there with that, you recall that rock. I can tell you one experience out on Outer. I've been here 8 years now, and that particular year on my approach to Outer, I hit bottom three times with our landing craft, which I never had done in the past. And that day I took this, basically the same route I've always taken, and I hit bottom three times with Pelican. So that was a pretty major impact.
Low lake levels create other problems, like facilitating the drying up of freshwater estuaries along the edges of the lake that serve as important nursery areas for aquatic life. Increasing water temperatures may also make the lake more vulnerable to invasion by exotic species like zebra mussels. On the other hand, for beach lovers, lower lake levels do create much wider beaches. This might be beneficial for species such as the endangered piping plover that depend on wide beaches for nesting habitat. Apostle Island's National Lakeshore Superintendent Bob Krummenacker feels strongly about National Park Service efforts to respond to climate change.
At the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, I think we have an opportunity to really lead by example. We can show how committed we are to doing something about climate change. We can demonstrate to people that it's within their grasp to do it themselves. And because people come here to learn, we have a great opportunity to educate people. On the islands, we are running as many of our facilities by solar power as we possibly can. We are phasing out propane everywhere where it's possible to do it, and we hope someday to be completely off of fossil fuels on the islands. Our boats, those that run diesel fuel right now, are running on a mixture of at least 20% biodiesel. We hope to be increasing that, hopefully 100% biodiesel at some point in the future. We have a hybrid car, and it's got a big NPS arrowhead on it on the outside, and we are very proud to show that we are trying to do something there. We are using public transportation wherever we can to get our staff out to the islands, and we're really working hard to maximize the efficiency of the boat trips that we do ourselves so that we don't waste any fuel, and every trip has multiple purposes out there. We were one of the first parks to engage in something that's called the Climate Friendly Parks Program, which is a joint Park Service EPA program, where we quantified our carbon emissions, and we have now made a plan for how we are going to reduce those carbon emissions. I think we have a great chance here to really show people that climate change is important. It's affecting a place they care about deeply. It's affecting their own lives. And they can make a difference. And we're going to show them how they can be part of that.
Earth Disguise Climate Cast is made possible through an innovative partnership between the National Park Service and NASA. The theme music was composed and performed by Karen Savoga. Each episode is written and produced by employees and partners of the National Park Service. For more information on the NASA Earth to Sky project, and to learn more about how climate change is impacting our national park system, visit www.earthtosky.org.